Your Money Matters here at 650 on 720. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate, joins us. Greg, always great to chat with you, my friend.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about student debt. And obviously, this has been a national conversation for a long time now. But we have new data that shows just how impactful student debt is for Gen Z and millennials on the decisions that they make, big decisions that I know baby boomers and Gen X may not think matters to them, but it does. But first of all, Greg, why don't you give us some of the numbers that stood out to you?
Yeah, 60% of those that either have had or currently have student loan debt say that they've had to delay a financial decision, one or more financial decisions as a result of servicing that debt. And it's even higher for Gen Zs and millennials. It's about 74% for Gen Z, 68% for millennials. And the type of things that are being put off, saving for emergencies, saving for retirement, buying a home, buying a car, those tend to be the more common ones, particularly among those more recent graduates that tend to be carrying higher debt burdens than maybe their parents did when they were in school.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at which generation and how much they've delayed certain decisions. Things like buying a house. Baby boomers say 12% of them delayed buying a house because of student debt. Millennials are at 30%. And I know some people might say, well, boo-hoo, sorry you can't own a house, millennials. But this impacts the greater economy, doesn't it, Greg?
Well, I think if we take a little bit of a longer view, it does sort of balance out in the sense that about 10 years ago, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth, particularly in the real estate community, because there was a lot of data showing millennials weren't buying houses at the same rate as their parents did or at that same age. And what we've seen in the years since is that a lot of those millennials that didn't buy in, say, their mid to late 20s, they were investing in career mobility, getting their education, paying down that student loan debt. Well, now in their mid-30s or late-30s, they're not only buying, but now we've got this wave of millennial home buyers, a lot of them skipping right over the starter home altogether. So I think, yes, the debt may put off certain financial milestones, but the higher earning power, the higher level of employability means that when they do start to save, when they do start to invest, when they do start to buy homes, they're able to do so at a higher level had they not had that education and started doing so earlier.
One of the questions is, have you delayed getting married? And 18% of Gen Zers, although I guess, well, they are at marriage age now for some of them, 18% say millennials is about 15%, whereas you compare it to Gen X and baby boomers is way lower. And I wonder, I know getting married actually costs money, but are part of these just general trends that millennials and Gen Zers are doing already, and that student debt may be one of the reasons that they attribute to it, but it could be part of cultural shifts as well?
Yeah, we do see that, you know, more broadly. I mean, in this particular instance, we were talking specifically to people who did have or have had student loan debt. And so, yes, there's probably some overlap with just sort of the general trends for their counterparts in the same age group. But what we do see is that those that have had student loan debt, they do say that that was one of the factors at play.
Do people regret getting a higher education?
No, they don't. And that's one thing that really stands out. There's no shortage of things that, you know, people might do differently if they had it to do over again. But only 10% said that they would not have pursued the higher education. About a third said they wouldn't do anything differently. Those that did have regrets, it tended to be things like wish I'd applied for more scholarships, worked more in school, maybe getting a different degree in a different field, attending a less expensive university or a community college. Those tended to be the most commonly cited things that people would do differently. But skipping out on the education altogether, no, that we didn't see much of that.
That's not what Twitter tells me, Greg, all the people that I follow and the national conversation about debt as well. And I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate gripes, but we seem to, gosh, I feel that I hear from everybody that on Twitter, who people who hate student loans say, I should have never gone to that school or something like that. But it just doesn't bear out, at least in the data that you're looking at.
Well, I mean, saying that they wouldn't have gone to that school, I mean, we did see that pop up.
Okay.
But that's not the same as saying, I would have never gotten the education altogether.
True.
You know, we did see a fair percentage 17% said that they would have gone to, they would go to a less expensive school if they had it to do over again. 15% said they would go to a community college if they had it to do over again. And 19% said they would get a degree in a different field. So yes, that's a pretty common thread, but not getting a degree at all, only 10% said so.
Greg, zooming out a little bit, what do you take away from all of this?
Well, college education is an investment, but one that has a really strong return on investment. It just takes time for it to build on itself. When you look at the unemployment rate for college grads is 2%. It's 4% for high school grads. So the unemployment rate's half for college grads. And there's still nearly $1 million lifetime earnings premium for having that college degree. So very strong return on investment. It just takes time to build. And then those first years out of school, not only are you kind of starting out low on the totem pole, you also have this debt to service. So that kind of takes a little while to get the momentum going. But those that, because of that higher level of employability and higher earnings, when they do start to save, in the long run, they're likely to save much more than if they hadn't had that education for which the debt resulted.
This is anecdotal. We'll have to see how this ultimately plays out. I feel like when a lot of people took on this debt, it wasn't such a conversation. I know a lot of friends my age in their mid to late 30s took on a lot of debt, and you hardly ever heard about how the rising cost of college was in the news. Now it has been a huge part of a national conversation. It will be interesting to see as these younger Gen Zs and the next generation, how many of them choose to take on these bigger loans if we've learned from some of the mistakes. But I guess we'll have to wait 10 to 15 years to find out, Greg.
Well, you know, I don't think, you know, there's necessarily a need to wait. I think there's a lot of people that are sort of, you know, rethinking that now. How much do I want to invest in this education, and what's my likely earning power at the other end of that? Calibrating how much you borrow with, you know, what your potential earning power at the other end is seems to be key. And also keep in mind, student loans are not the only form of financial aid. Scholarships, grants, work-study programs, you know, all of those you know, other legs on the stool, if you will, in terms of financing that education.
For sure. And no matter what college you end up going to, if you do, don't sign up for a credit card because they give you a free Frisbee. That is a John Hansen lesson to all you kids out there. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks a lot.
Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate. All right, we'll take a break, then we'll wrap things up next on Your Money Matters on WGN.